We're going to be talking first to Dan about All Matters Web, and then after a bit of music in a while, we'll be talking to Phil about All Matters Selling, something that everybody has to do, and an awful lot of people would perhaps prefer that they didn't have to do. So what we're going to try and do is talk about both of these, in fact, both of these areas, I guess, are areas that people come to because they feel they have to, and they don't always get their ideas together before they come. Is that fair to say about the web?
Yeah, I'd say so, and I think sort of both areas really cross over. You know, at the end of the day, the web is a marketing tool, your website, and once you've got visitors to it, it needs to sell. And sort of similar techniques that can be used for a sales team, I guess, with Phil's side of things, similar sort of principles need to be used with the website. It's got to sell what you do or your products or, you know, whatever it is that the business is focused on.
I mean, there's an acronym that gets used a lot in marketing sales circle, AIDA, attention, interest, desire, and action. And I guess the website's about that early stage, about getting attention, getting interest, starting to build the desire, and then sales is about concretizing that desire and turning it into some sort of action. But then the web can also take you there to action, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think that most people are going to hit your website based on doing a relevant search for what your service is or the product that you're selling, or a direct reference to your site. So what it's got to do is sort of convince them. With e-commerce, really what you've got to make sure is you're not giving the user any reason not to buy from you. So, you know, the main things they'll look at will be security, price, clear calls to action, etc., etc. As long as you cover these elements, then there should be no reason why would they not buy from you, or why would they not send you an inquiry if you offer a relevant service. So
before I've sort of got ahead of myself and jumped into the detail, let's just take one step back a little bit and talk about you. You've been running a business called Net Insight for how long now?
Coming up for 4 years.
And before that?
Before that, I was an e-commerce manager for an online surf shop.
Oh, so very at the cool end of the market.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's with web, it's all about products and price and exposure. So it doesn't matter whether you're selling cool boardies and t-shirts or nuts and bolts and widgets. The principles are the same.
And what prompted you to start Net Insight, and who did you do that with?
Okay, well, I was at the e-commerce side of things for about 3 years, and about 6 months into the project of setting up the e-commerce business for the company, I took on another member of staff, a chap called Mike Reed, and over the 3 years, we pretty much ran and grew that business as more of a partnership. Rather than him being sort of a junior or anything. And we got it to a certain size and really wanted to push things further forward, but for various reasons we weren't given the ability to do that. And our real core interest and focus was not really on fashion and a passion for surf wear. It was the industry, it was the... all the processes and the sort of management and expansion side of things, and the interest in improving the website, how to increase conversion rates, and so we felt that potentially it was a business opportunity in us passing on everything we've learned, what to do, what not to do, and so we decided to set up a consultancy called Net Insight. So we offered impartial, independent advice to people either wanting to go into e-commerce, already in e-commerce, but not potentially hitting their expectations as to what they could do. So we did that for about a year with a pretty good rate of success. We worked with some fairly big companies out of county, doing a lot of the important bits. Really detailed technical specifications for putting out to tender to make sure that you get very accurate, nailed down, like-for-like quotes. platform selection, so what e-commerce platform should they use, which company should they go with.
So this is the software that drives the e-commerce shop online.
Exactly, yeah, and any e-commerce site has got a platform behind it, whether it's a bespoke system that's built by an in-house within an agency, or whether it's sort of an open source or proprietary bit of software. Every e-commerce site sits on something like that. We then used to do a lot of the project management. The idea was basically that the client can carry on running their business and generating sales and bring us in to deliver their new site, so they wouldn't have, you know, not having to split their resources. Putting in a new e-commerce site is a very big job, very resource heavy, takes a lot of time, a lot of thought to do it properly. And for some companies, they haven't got the resources to run their existing site and set up and all their marketing, and also put the necessary time into delivering the new,
site. Let's use that prompt to talk about businesses and the web. I first started talking to businesses about the web in 1999, so 12 years ago, and the world's changed a lot since then. Then it was a kind of luxury, and businesses could choose whether they wanted to go online or not. Now it seems to be less of a choice. For most businesses, some sort of website is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that any business, doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're selling product, it's a service, any element of business, you should have a website, because it's the first port of call for a lot of people if they're interested in using your services or buying from you, or you know, the various different businesses that might be running. And if you don't have a website, that can have a negative effect, because you're not potentially seen as being up to date, cutting edge, etc., etc. But then on the other hand, having a poor web presence can be just as much of a negative impact. If someone finds you through your website, but it gives a very poor representation of who you are as a company. If it looks old, outdated, you know, classic things like poor grammar, not easy to use, you can't find the phone number or email addresses to contact people. All of these things, you may have had a very positive reference. Someone's gone to find you on the web to do a bit of a digging around, which I'm sure everyone does when they've been introduced to a new company. You could say you start off with a very good impression, and your website can almost wipe that immediately.
So there must be different types of website for different purposes. I mean, not everybody wants to sell products online and needs the full e-commerce site, but a lot of businesses presumably want to develop interest, that the second letter in that, and then some sort of desire for what they do. So how do you gauge, how would you work with a client to work out what is needed, what sort of level of site would work for them?
Well, I mean, generally it falls into two. You've either got e-commerce sites selling products, or you have brochure sites or lead generation sites. Generally, those are for service sector. So it's a very straightforward thing. You know, if they're not selling product, then you know the whole e-commerce side of things isn't really relevant. The majority of sites are lead, or should be classed as lead generation sites. So it's a case of really finding out what the core of the business is, what the core offering is, the key services, what your USP is, all of those usual things that you would probably put together for brochures and PDFs.
USP being unique selling point.
Yeah, sorry. And so part of our process would be to really try and drill down what those core offerings are. And a website, you shouldn't have reams and reams of information. If someone wants to find out more about you, they will then contact you or request a brochure or something like that. The information on the site needs to be relevant, easy to find, easy to read and understand, and just deliver the key benefits and the services that you offer, and then make it really, really obvious how to get in touch. Clear call to actions. If you want someone to click a button to go to your contact form, make it the biggest button on the page, and in a relevant place. You know, people generally always look for information in the top right-hand corner. for phone numbers and possibly a link to the contact form and in the footer. But if you've got a service page with some relevant information or a price list, etc., you need to have a link to your contact form or your phone number there, again on that page, underneath or in that content, because people make a very quick decision, and if what they're reading is what they like the sound of, they want to just immediately take that next step.
Right. So people can buy something very quickly. It really is a on the spur of the moment thing.
Yeah, certainly. Everyone's very different. People use the web very differently. Those who are sort of going back to e-commerce, those who are very web savvy will, if they want a product, they will, they will probably do some research, find exactly the product they want, get the model number, etc., and then they will search and find a number of sites that sell that exact model, and then do a straight comparison on price, delivery costs and turnaround, returns information. Is there a returns guarantee? What's the time period on that? And weighing up those factors, they will just buy from the company that ticks the majority of those boxes.
Now I was talking earlier to the people from Falmouth Bid about retail and about the high street. Now I'm aware that some of the businesses in Falmouth Town now also go online and sell their products using e-commerce. If other businesses are looking to add another line effectively to their business, another sales route that will give them a much wider audience, what are the things they need to think about?
If focusing on say high street shops, so obviously the sites they should be putting together would be a transactional e-commerce site. Things to consider is that they're not going to be the only ones selling their product or their type of product in that sector. So you've got to look at what the competition is. If you've got the likes of John Lewis and Homebase selling the same products as you, you're in a very competitive market. So you've got to make sure that you can compete on price and that you can present yourself to a similar level of professionalism online as them. Otherwise, why would someone buy from you, being a small retailer, who they don't know from Adam, when they can buy the same product from a large high street store? Outside of that, once you feel that there is definitely room for you online, you've just got to consider that it's not an easy job. Pulling an e-commerce site together, even if it's only with, say, 100, 200 products, is a lot of work. You've got to write a lot of copy, you've got to take very good product images, you've got to be fairly good on Photoshop, you've got to be generating banners and promotional material. That's just a small part of even just getting the site together. How are you going to manage stock control? Are you going to do back orders? How are you going to communicate with your customers? The biggest thing is if you build a site, and unless you've got a marketing budget and strategy, it's the same as building a shop in the middle of the desert. No one's going to come to it. So you've got to be aware of budgets, email marketing, pay-per-click, SEO, etc., etc. It's a big undertaking.
We'll come back in another show to email marketing and search engine optimization, because there's a considerable amount of what I would call the black arts around there. But one of the key things, and it's kind of me linking now from you to Phil, because after a bit of music we're going to go to Phil and talk about selling. I was reading a survey earlier in the week that said that businesses put so much effort into putting a website together and getting the leads out of a website, and so little effort into actually trying to convert them, that they are in danger of wasting their money.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Once the site's built, a lot of companies put all their marketing budgets in place. But what you've got to really focus on is your conversion rate, and whether that's an e-commerce site or a lead generation site, how well does that traffic convert into a lead, into a sale? If it's not converting very well, then don't spend a huge amount of money on marketing. Get it to convert well. Make changes to the site. And then once you've got it to a good conversion rate percentage, then put all your money into marketing, because you'll get a much greater return on investment, better margins, etc., etc. It's a winning circle then.
So all about preparation and being prepared to do the right things in the right sort of order.
Yeah.
And that's where I guess working with somebody like yourself helps.
Well, yeah, we feel we can, that's our USP, I suppose, is we know conversion rates. We understand the psychology of how people interact with sites, what they respond to. If your market, your audience is more male than female, you would design and position content on your site very differently to a female audience, or those sort of from the 40s up to 60s audience would use a site very, very differently to those from their teens to their mid-30s. So you've got, all of this needs to be considered to really leverage the best performance from your site.